The night the stone rolled away, how we know the disciples did not steal the body. The air around an empty tomb carries a certain weight. Stone, sealed and watched, does not simply yield. In the early hours after the crucifixion, something shifted in the dark outside Jerusalem, and the explanations that tried to follow never quite settled. One of the oldest suggestions still whispered is that the disciples themselves slipped in and took the body. It is a tidy story on the surface. It keeps the supernatural at a distance. Yet the more the scene is held up to the light that filters through ancient stone and trembling witness, the less that explanation holds. Consider the setting. A tomb cut into rock, a heavy stone rolled across the entrance, and a guard detail posted to keep the place undisturbed. The authorities had already heard rumors of a claim that the teacher would rise. They were not careless. The seal was official. The watch was armed and accountable. For a small group of grieving men to overpower trained soldiers, move a stone that several strong backs would struggle with, and then carry away a body without leaving a single clear trace strains ordinary sense. The guards later reported something else entirely, and the official story that circulated afterward carried the marks of damage control rather than calm investigation. Then there are the disciples themselves. These were not bold operators. In the hours after the arrest, they had scattered. Peter denied even knowing the man. The others hid behind locked doors. Fear sat heavy on them. The idea that this same group, still reeling from public execution and personal failure, suddenly organized a precise nighttime theft under the noses of armed watchers asks for a transformation that the theft theory itself cannot supply. People do not ordinarily leap from abject terror to disciplined crime in a single night, especially when the prize is a corpse that would only deepen their danger. What followed the discovery of the empty tomb is harder still to square with a simple cover-up. The same men who had hidden began to speak openly of what they had seen and heard. They did not retreat to safer districts. They stayed in the city where the authorities could reach them. They announced a risen Lord in the very place where the body had been laid. If they had stolen the body, every public claim became a risk of exposure. A single confession under pressure, a single slip, would have collapsed the whole account. Yet the message spread, and the messengers endured hardship, exile, and death rather than recant. Liars inventing a story for influence or safety do not usually choose a path that leads to the cross or the sword. The pattern of their lives after that morning points to conviction, not calculation. There is also the matter of the burial cloths. The accounts describe them left in place, the head covering separate. A hurried theft would more naturally take the body as it was, wrapped and ready to move. Leaving the linens arranged as if the body had simply passed through them suggests something other than frantic removal. The detail is small, yet it sits awkwardly inside a theft narrative. It fits more readily with an event that left the wrappings undisturbed while the one they had held was gone. The women who came first to the tomb add another quiet difficulty. In that culture, their testimony carried less formal weight. If the story were being constructed for maximum credibility, stronger witnesses would have been preferred. Instead, the earliest reports come through those who had come to mourn and found the stone moved, the body missing, and a message they scarcely dare believe. The awkwardness of the detail argues against careful invention. It has the texture of something remembered rather than polished. Across the years, the theft explanation has been offered in different forms. Sometimes the disciples are cast as clever conspirators. Sometimes they are said to have acted in sincere delusion. Neither version accounts for the combination of an empty, guarded tomb, transformed cowards who became public witnesses, and a message that refused to die, even when its carriers did. The alternative, that the body was not stolen because the Lord had risen, carries its own weight of mystery. It asks for faith that the same God who formed the world can also open a sealed grave. Yet it does not require us to believe that frightened men suddenly became master thieves, or that a conspiracy of silence held under the pressure of persecution and death. Christian Gothic sensibility finds a natural home in this territory. The stone, the dark, the watchers, the sudden absence, the light that does not come from any ordinary lamp. Faith here is not a denial of shadow. It is the recognition that the deepest night outside the city walls was not the final word. The disciples did not need to steal what was no longer held by death. The empty tomb stands as both mystery and evidence. A place where ordinary explanations thin out and something stronger remains. We do not know every detail of that night. We do know the official story of theft never satisfied the facts on the ground. The guard, the seal, the fear of the disciples, their later courage, the arranged cloths, the unlikely first witnesses, all of these press against the simple claim that the body was taken by France. What remains is the harder and more hopeful claim. The grave could not keep him. In the quiet that follows every attempt to explain the emptiness away, that claim still sounds. The Christian life that grows from this event does not float above darkness. It walks through it with a knowledge that the tomb was open from the inside. The same Lord who left the stone rolled away still meets people in their own sealed places. The evidence against the theft theory is not merely historical argument. It is part of the larger pattern that says death does not have the last word, and that the one who walked out of the grave still calls the fearful into courage. So the question returns, not as academic puzzle, but as living pressure. If the disciples did not steal the body, then something else occurred. The early witnesses staked their lives on that something else. Their changed conduct, their refusal to abandon the message, their willingness to suffer rather than revise the story, all of these remain difficult to dismiss. In the end, the empty tomb asks us to decide whether we will keep inventing human explanations that grow thinner with every detail, or whether we will stand before the open stone and reckon with the possibility that the Lord is risen indeed. That reckoning is not tidy. It does not remove every shadow. It does, however, place the shadows in a larger frame. The Christian Gothic imagination has always understood that light is most visible when it breaks into darkness. The garden tomb is one of the places where that breaking is remembered. The disciples did not need to carry the body away. The body was already gone, and the world has never been quite the same.